And we are live. There we go. That's better. We are live on the Side Quest. Coming at ya live on the Side Quest. Side Quest Live starring Zach Quest.
Hi.
Aaron Scrattybones Kelly.
Hey, what's up? How you doing?
Your other host, Dali Dimovsky.
That's me.
And musical guest, The Strokes.
Oh, wow. Look at that. The Strokes are here. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Side Quest for Marl. Today's Marl Day, March 11th, 2021. Marl. Yesterday was Martin. I'm Dali Dimovsky. You've already met Zach. You've met Aaron.
Hey.
We're going to have a good time tonight. If you see anything weird happening, it's because I'm going to be disappearing off the screen as I'm restarting my computer, restarting the Wi-Fi. But these fine gentlemen will continue without me. Hopefully this works. Anyways, let's get rocking, Zach and Aaron. How you guys doing? You guys doing good?
Yeah. No complaints.
All right.
I'm doing all right.
Just all right? How yeah. is just all right?
I mean, you know how it is.
Yeah, you know. No, I don't know how it is.
You know, you wake up and you go to work and you come home and on the walk home, you run into somebody you haven't seen since high school. And they're like, oh, hey, what's up? How you doing? And you find out that they're making a shitload of money because they're a programmer. And you take a look at yourself and then realize this isn't where I thought I'd be when I was 19.
Instead, you're on sidequesting.com doing a podcast on a Thursday night.
I'm making things happen. I'm doing the Lord's work.
Doing the Lord's work. Well, hey, you know what? You live and learn. I guess that's what they say, right? I don't know if that's what they say, but that's what they say. Hey, Zach, how you doing, man?
Pretty good. I don't have any crazy story to say.
That's it. You don't have any crazy stories.
No.
All right.
I'm just hanging out with my dogs.
Nice.
My dogs,
D-A-double-G. Oh, okay. Yeah. The only, sorry, go ahead. What was that?
I wasn't going to say anything. I was going to say my real dogs, not y'all. But
my only type of news is your boy is best friends with Tony Hawk. What's up, Tony? Yeah. How you doing, man? Doing all right? Good to see you, my friend.
Hey, Tony.
I'll get him on the side quest. Hi, Tony. It is Thursday. It's been a week already, and a heck of a week. And I figure we always start with news. That's the way we do things now. So let's start with the news. I've got to stop with like Saturday Night Live voice here. Let's start with some news. Who's got some news? What are some news stories that are good?
Oh, let me jump in here with the one that caught my eye right at the end, right before we hit the play button. This is a new story in two parts. Part one, hey, did you guys know that people still play Neopets? And part two, check out this incredibly in-depth article on Polygon about Neopets black market pet trading.
Yeah.
Which is insane. I haven't played Neopets in like 15 years. Probably something like that. And I'm sitting here reading about how they've upgraded their art and that means they changed designs, but some people still have the old designs and those pets are super rare. So there's hackers all over the fucking place breaking into accounts to get at them for that sweet, sweet Neopet currency.
It's like a Bitcoin.
And I'm just sitting here going like, I bet I can remember my password. I bet I can get in there, and it's been 15 years. I bet I got some pets, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just saw that and I was like, what the fuck? Started reading this article while we were waiting for the show to start, and I was just like, this is the wildest shit. And also, Neopets still exists.
So Neopets were like, they were like a cheap, weird version of Digimon / Tamagotchi / Pokemon, right?
Kind of. Way less interactive. At least back in the day.
Okay.
It was like Neopets originally was like almost like a flash game site. except all the Flash games were ripoffs of popular Flash games, and they would incorporate their little animal designs, and you'd have them you'd have your pets, and you'd have to like click on them, and a little text box would pop up, and it'd be like, play with pet, click, and then you play a Flash game, and that would keep your pet happy. And then since then, they got way more intricate, and they added like Farmville style, like city building almost, and like the games got more intricate. And yeah, Neopets launched in 1999. Neopets predates YouTube, I think.
Yeah. Oh, you're right, it does. Yeah, I remember seeing. Go ahead.
It was like 2006.
Was it?
Yeah. Anyway.
I remember seeing Neopets in Neopets magazines. Sorry, I'm plugging in stuff. Neopet magazines and the on the rack at Borders.
Yeah,
two things which don't exist: Borders and magazines.
There's this video I saw like a couple months ago. This YouTuber I watch used to be really into Neopets, and she went into the whole like adoption process people would have, like a trading process, and like how people would like pay people money to make websites for their pets for adoption sites. So it's like huge, intricate like thing. So it's not really shocking that it's like some like black market and stuff. And I think it was like created by Scientologists too. Like at least at first it was.
Scientologists.
Yeah. It was created by at first.
By Tom Cruise.
Yeah. It's such a crazy like thing to have, like, because there are people out there who learn how to code by making websites for their Neopets. Like, that's just crazy to even like consider.
They started Roblox after Neopets.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so that's the thing. Neopets. Next week, I'm sure I'll be looking out for like an in-depth exclusive on Gaia Online scarf trading. There's a deep fucking cut for people.
Gaia, man. I never understood it. Like, I played it. I think I played it, like, but I just would, like, look at people and be like, man, I wish I looked that cool. But I was just, like, a dude in, like, leather pants.
Yeah, I had, like, I played on Gaia Online just because it wasn't so much playing. It was just a forum. You just had an avatar and you could dress it up. And then I stopped doing that because I was no longer 9. And then like a handful of years later, I logged in, and I was still wearing the same shit that I've been wearing, which when I played was just like, you know, the cheap shit. And then I like jumped onto a forum for God, some fucking anime, I'm sure. And I was just like, hey, what's up? And they were like, oh my God, where'd you get those clothes? Like, oh, I was wearing them. Like, hey, you want this scarf? I'll give it to you for free. People are like, oh my God. And then I just never logged in again. Some say those people are still waiting for my scarf, my cool bat scarf. Yeah. So there was that. That's Neopets. Neopets still exists, apparently. According to their Wikipedia page, at one point, Viacom owned them.
Jeez.
Yeah, but so
Viacom, wow.
Neopets was made by a couple in 97. In 2005, Viacom became the developer and the publisher, and they had it until 2014, and now it's owned by some company called Jumpstart Games, which is an American edutainment game developer.
Ooh.
That's according to their Wikipedia page.
Sounds snazzy.
Where's the Scientology angle? Because I've heard of this before.
I don't know. There's Wikipedia pages for the two original developers, and neither of their Wikipedia pages say anything about Scientology. Yeah. Although that doesn't mean anything, because Scientology probably just went in there and scrubbed out the pages. That's how they do. Hey, you know what else is being erased from the internet? Check out this segue. Dota Underlords has lost over 97% of its daily peak players since launch.
Wow. Really?
This is from a post on Reddit, which is pulling statistics from SteamDB. And what they point out that, yeah, Dota Underlords has now lost over 97% of its daily peak players since launch. The game has also seen an 80% drop in daily peak concurrent users from this point last year, which apparently is making queue times massive.
Damn.
Which is not great, but I'm pretty sure I said it back when I was playing these games heavily. Like, I started with Dota Underlords. Well, I started with the mods, and then I started playing Dota Underlords when Valve was like, no, we're going to make this. It's going to be great. And then Riot was like, we're going to do one too. And, you know, every time that happens, it's like, well, I guess Riot wins. And sure enough, everybody's playing Teamfight.
Have you played the one made by the original people on Epic?
Yep. Auto Chess, I think it's just called. Does it have an
action? I think so, yeah.
Dota Auto Chess. I don't even know if they can call it Dota. But, yeah, no, I've played that one. I played that one a little bit on the Epic launcher on my PC. I played a lot more on my phone. That one was okay. The problem with that one was there was a lot of weird, like, a lot of weird translation problems, because the developer guy is Chinese.
Yeah.
And the game is coded and written out in Chinese and then translated to English. And for the most part, it was fine, but it just every now and again, like, instead of damage numbers coming up, it would be Chinese characters. Or instead of a text box coming up to tell you what synergies you were dealing with, it would just be a full string of Chinese. Hmm. And I'm not super fluent. And by not super fluent, I mean I don't recognize any Chinese characters at all. So yeah, so I kind of fell off of that one. And then that was right when Teamfight Tactics was getting big, and I played that one for a very long time. And now I'm clean. I don't even get the itches anymore.
I'm clean. I love it.
I can read a news article about Auto Chess, and I'm not sitting here going, oh, I could install that. I could get back in there and play it. Like,
yeah.
And install Underlords and get me a little Axe Lord action. You know what I'm saying? But yeah.
I remember Dota Underlords on. Did they have like a mobile version of that?
I think so.
I think all of them did. Yeah.
Did they?
Dota Underlords was interesting because it was like on PC, it was the one that was the most obvious that it was a mobile game.
Sure.
Like the interface and like all of it was still just like, you know, the big and bubbly and cartoony like you would expect on mobile. The other ones were at least a little more clear, a little more crisp. Mm-hmm. So, goodbye, Dota Underlords. It was nice to know you.
A lot of these games are starting to fail, man.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it always goes. Like,
yeah,
you have something niche like that that gets super popular, and a bunch of fucking people are all going to make their own games, and inevitably, one of them is going to win out. And you know, if Riot's one of the ones getting in on the action, chances are, like they're going to win just because they have. Like the character designs that everybody loves and recognize and the money to put into marketing. Like, it's like, Valve's not going to put a music video out featuring a K-pop group. You know what I mean? Like,
well, it's like Valve, they're like Valve's whole studio is like 300 people, I think total. So just go ahead and think about that. And then you have Riot, who probably has like 200 people working on this game. Like their game, so it's like, or maybe 150 or even 100, but Valve doesn't have even probably I would say maybe 10 people, like, because I know their Dota team's maybe like 15 people, Dota 2, that work on that game. And so yeah, their Valve is always weirdly behind, even though they start things, they're always behind because their teams are so small. So it's kind of just gonna happen with them. Unless it's like Team Fortress 2, which still has tons of players, CS:GO, like those are the only, like, and Dota 2, like those are the only games that people still play and are updated and get updates enough to where people are like, this is fine.
Anyway, that's what I got for news. I know there's more out there. I just didn't see a whole lot that piqued my interest. I'm too into this video game that I'm playing.
Before
which I'll talk about later.
Yeah. There was the Xbox Bethesda news. That's officially official.
I have a lot to say.
Do it. Say it.
So, I think it's it was a refreshing thing to see. It's like, compared to Sony, who's really tight-lipped about their first-party exclusives and stuff, like, they're not really open and like, hey, like, we love our studios and we love what they're doing and we want them to keep doing what they do. I think Sony, all their games have the same DNA. Like, I don't want to say they're all samey because they're not, but they all kind of fit this kind of like mold. Like, all their games do. And what Microsoft was talking about was like, we don't want our first parties to be in a mold. We want them to do what they're doing, and we want to share technology across all of our studios and like have fun. And that was it was a really refreshing thing to hear, like Phil Spencer say, like, yeah, like we just want them to keep doing what they're doing and not be forced to make something that they don't want to make. And when you see a Sony first party game coming out, like, if you hear a concept like, oh, it's going to be a game about samurai, you already know how that game's going to look from Sony. But if you heard that from Microsoft, it'd be like, oh, it could be like anything. So yeah, I was just thinking a lot about that, about how Sony games just all have the same look and all feel the same, and all their first party games, I think besides Spider-Man maybe and Ratchet and Clank, everything else just kind of looked the same. So that's my big, I guess, hot take. I guess I'm excited to see what Microsoft does, because they seem to be excited to have exclusives for the first time in like a decade or two.
The thing that made me laugh was the reactions to the announcement, the confirmation, however you want to describe it, on Twitter. Seems like a whole lot of people thought that they wouldn't be a Microsoft exclusive company. Like, a lot of people out there look pissed off about this. And it's just like, what did you think was going to happen?
They're owned by Microsoft. Now, there's definitely like contracts and some stuff already in place for certain games. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if an Indiana Jones game, because it is a Disney thing, that comes to PS5 as well. but, you know, like, I think the rumor was Starfield, like Sony was courting Starfield to be an exclusive PS5 game. So, which is not going to happen, obviously, but, you know, that may have at least gotten them some non-Xbox exclusivity out of it, so that Starfield was still alive. But I could see Elder Scrolls being completely exclusive to Xbox consoles.
And to hear, like, Phil Spencer say, like, we're excited to work with Sony and Nintendo, like, the games are on other platforms, we're going to support those still. Like, hearing him say that and not be like, we don't want to have our gamers play with PlayStation gamers, like, it's just like really refreshing to hear him talk about games. So,
and you know what, make it a point, I do want to make it a point that he didn't say these are going to be Xbox exclusives. What he said, and I think it is key, was we want to provide I think it was something like, we want to provide Xbox owners or players of Xbox services wherever every platform that Game Pass is on, which he could have said Xbox and PC and been done with it. But no, he specifically said every platform Xbox and Game Pass on, which, you know, there's that rumor that, you know, everyone always says there's the Game Pass on Switch rumor, which it won't be Game Pass. You'll probably get X Cloud, but I do think that, you know, they're leaving the door open for down the line, you know, Game Pass coming to PS5 in some fashion, potentially, or Mac or phones or something, you know. So I think that's maybe what more in line with what they're kind of thinking. So
it's also like, it could also just be like, hey, like, our games are going to be exclusive for like 6 months. Like,
yeah,
get over it. So
I do think there'll be definite exclusives. I mean, there'll definitely be games on Xbox that are not on on PS4 or PS5 or whatever, you know, or Switch, whatever. I mean, that's fine. That's normal. That's pretty normal, you know.
Or if I want to get like a conspiracy theory, like big brain type of thing, him saying like on platforms that have Game Pass, like
yeah,
Nintendo and Microsoft have been working together a lot recently, so mm-hmm. there wouldn't be too far fetched to say a Banjo Kazooie yeah. game on Nintendo only, like Switch yep. only. So because yep. if they did that, it would sell better on the Switch than it would on a Microsoft console.
No, for certain right. games, definitely. Yep, yeah. yep. And you see Sony and Microsoft having a lot of success putting their games on stuff like Steam and PC. Yeah. I mean, everything that Microsoft, like, what is it, Forza is like top four game or something crazy like that and, on Steam. So it behooves them to move to different platforms. You don't have to do it right away. You can do it down the line. But yeah, I think it's whatever it is, it's news. Bethesda doesn't pump out a bajillion games a year. They're not like EA or Ubisoft or Activision. They put out generally 2 to 3 games a year. You go from there. So
I think the weird thing about Bethesda is I always consider them like a PC gaming company, not even a console. Because like, cause their games yeah. on console yep. like barely even work. So it's like, yeah. so maybe them getting with Microsoft will help them make their console ports better. Because they didn't have, I don't think they had that kind of support before. So
yeah, no, I agree. Playland says it best. That's what they are. Yep. So. Good stuff. And I want to throw in one. Do you have other news, by the way, Zach? Anything else that you want to cover?
There's so Loop Hero passed 500,000 copies sold.
We might be talking about that in our games played section here. Yeah. What do you play?
And then there's a report from Kotaku about Capcom making workers work during COVID lockdown.
It's crazy. In Japan. So that's forcing crazy. Them to come in or something like that. That's nuts.
Yeah. I mean, besides the Bethesda stuff, and that's really it for this week.
I have one which I thought was kind of interesting. So, you know how they have those Ultimate Team cards on FIFA and on other sports? Apparently, EA is investigating. I'm reading this off GamesIndustry.biz. They're investigating allegations of an employee selling rare FIFA Ultimate Team cards online. So it's already a trending EA Gate hashtag. But the publisher promises swift action if claims of cards being sold for up to 1,700 euros, so like over $2,000, if my math works correctly, per these rare cards that this EA employee was potentially selling. So yeah, something to think about. There could be I think that's really interesting because
listen, yeah. we all love McDonald's. We all remember the McDonald's Monopoly scam where employees got caught stealing those stickers. You got to learn from the past if you want to profit in the future, and this is an employee who learned from the past.
Yeah,
it's like that kid that he sold Nike shoes. His mom was like the marketing officer of Nike, and he was like taking shoes and selling them on a resale market.
Yep.
Yeah.
There was a fire. Server fires.
Yeah, all of the European. I don't know what all was contained there. I saw this because apparently all of the European Rust servers were caught in it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is troubling because where I live, it's a coin flip whether or not I'm playing on North American or European servers. So there's a potential chance that I can no longer play a bunch of games for the moment.
That sucks.
Well, with Rust, at least like that game, the whole concept of Rust is like, hey, let's play this game for 3 months, then the whole thing gets wiped for like a month or whatever. So like deleting progress in Rust is kind of inherent to the gameplay. So at least like I've seen Rust players are like, okay, so it's just another wipe.
Cool. Yeah, it's a big wipe.
So yeah, at least it's not that bad for Rust players, but it could be bad for other types of games maybe.
Yeah. It's a bad time all around, and you know that probably means that there's a chunk of people who currently don't have anywhere to go to work.
Yep.
Yeah.
So yep. That's not great.
All right, I think that's it for the news. We can get on to what we've been playing. We can speed things up and move things along here.
Yeah.
Can I share what I've been playing first?
Sure.
All right, I'm going to share my screen because let me see if this works. Fingers crossed. Come on. Is it working? Come on. What's going on here? Uh-oh. Did it crash? No. Can you guys see me?
Yep. Yeah. Can't see your screen. We can see you.
Something's loading.
Zooming in on my face. What is going on?
That's amazing. What is that? All right, my thing's crashing out here. Dang it. I'm trying to share the screen. I've been playing Bravely Default Part 2.
Oh, nice.
And for some reason, the screen is not sharing because, I think it's a Google Chrome thing. So if my computer dies, you'll know why. I've been playing Bravely Default 2. It is, it's mechanically the best Bravely Default game. Does that make sense? Maybe that makes sense. I'm not sure. It does. And so, It touches on all those same points that previous Bravely Default games. So you can, you know, Brave and Default. Brave is basically you're kind of stealing from turns that you don't have yet. So you can attack twice in a row or three times in a row or up to four times in a row. But then you're kind of in a pause mode. You're weaker for the next, you know, few times after that. You can't attack, can't do anything. You kind of lose your turns. The default portion of that, for those that don't know, is you're actually saving up your turn. So you're defending, and then you can actually utilize those turns later on. So it benefits you in a couple different ways there. I'm really enjoying it. Oh, everything's dying on my screen here. I'm really enjoying the subtle tweaks they made to that battle mechanic. Visual wise, it's pretty cool. It looks like a kind of like what do they call marionette style? Like what are those? What were those puppets? The Team America kind of looks like a little bit like Team America style puppets, like the proportions and the visual style, which is pretty wild. Not being on a 3DS which is what the other two Bravely Default games were, it means you tend to miss out on some of the cool 3DS stuff like Street Pass. But nay, there is a Street Pass style mode in Bravely Default 2 where you can send a little boat out and that little boat can collect treasure from within the game, right? However, if you connect it online, you get there's a setting within the game, set up online that your little boat, whenever you go into like sleep mode with your Switch, your boat goes and meets up with other people and you can get like better treasure and defeat better enemies and experience all that kind of stuff. So it's just kind of a neat little way of getting items and fulfilling little weird little story quests and stuff in the game. But I kind of like it. It's just an extra way to earn some loot by sending your boat out during the daytime. But it's Bravely Default. I've maybe a quarter of the way through the game right now. I'm not going to be talking about it too much. Don't worry. This isn't going to be an Octopath Traveler / Outer World / every other RPG that Dolly plays type of thing. But it's definitely I think it's one of the better RPGs on the Switch, surprisingly. So yeah, it's good. I like Bravely Default. It's good. Any questions, Zach? I know you're playing replaying the 3DS versions.
Yeah. I don't have any questions. I'm trying to stay as like spoiler free as I can.
Yeah, there are monsters in this one. No, so Bravely Default 2. And then I've been I'm almost done with Cathedral, which was that sort of 2D Metroidvania ish Shovel Knight style looking game. Man, that game really opens up after the first like 20-30 minutes of that game, because the first like little bit of that game, it looks like every other Castlevania style game. You're just kind of jumping around in a castle and hopping back and forth. But then There's a point where things just really open up to, you know, you can go into towns, you can upgrade weapons, you can do magic spells and stuff. It's kind of interesting. It kind of went places that I wasn't expecting. It's still, I think I mentioned it before, it's still kind of got too much of an open expanse, an expansive world, in that the level design is a little bit too big for exploration. There's a lot of like wasted space, I feel, instead of being like tighter and concise. But overall, it's a really competent Metroidvania style game. So I'm digging it. It's not as good as I think it was Always Legacy, like, which was the publisher's other game that they released last year. But it's a good game. That's it. That's what I got. If I disappear, by the way, it's because I'm restarting my Google, because yeah, something's going crazy over here. I got to figure out how. Who wants to go next?
Aaron, talk about Loop Hero.
Well, I've actually been playing two games.
Mm.
I talked about it a little bit last week, so I'll start with it quickly. I played a little bit more Valheim. I beat the first boss. That boss was really easy to beat. If you walk in a circle and just shoot it with arrows, it dies and can't hit you. That game seems better than it did now that I have a house. It took a really long time of just chopping down trees and shit to build that house. Yeah, I don't know. That game continues to seem just okay. I'm not really sure why everybody is like so crazy over it. Like, it's fine. But I'll probably keep playing it just to try and figure out why everybody think that game is the greatest thing since sliced bread, which was invented, I still think, less than 100 years ago. Anyway.
No way.
Anyway, yeah, so that's that. And the game that I've been playing way more is Loop Hero. This game, I've literally been playing it for the entire show. I just have it on right now because you don't have to. It's just slightly more than like an auto game. Is that one of you two? Somebody got music playing. I don't think it's me. Yeah, it's not me. I tried muting. We can't hear you talking, but there's music playing out of your sound, Dolly. There it is. But yeah, so I've been playing Loop Hero. And the game's weird. So the whole setup for the game is that the world / universe was destroyed, and your dude wakes up and he doesn't have like memories because I guess those were destroyed too. And he's like, I'm gonna walk around a bit and see what's going on. And he's basically just walking in a circle, which is, you know, just that's the loop. And there's monsters. And every now and again, you run into a new monster. And he goes, oh, I remember what this thing is. I'm going to kill it now. And then you kill it. And then that's sort of the game. You get cards, which either offer passive bonuses, like you might get mountains or rocks, and those will give you more HP with bonuses for like being adjacent to other mountains or rocks or meadows, which heal you at the end of each day. There's like a little timer that just progresses as your dude walks. Or you get like monster cards, like spider nests, and you put those down and they'll spawn spiders around, and that gives you new monsters to fight, which drop loot. And then you take that loot and equip your guide. It makes them stronger and means you can fight more monsters. And there's a bunch of those. And then as you're walking through these tiles that you're slowly placing down based off these cards, you're generating resources. And then very, very slowly, those resources turn into like more resources. So it's like, you step through a forest tile and it gives you a branch. And if you get 12 branches, you'll get one single piece of timber. And then once you've left the map, you go back to your base camp and it's like, I'm going to build a building. Oh, you need 18 pieces of timber.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's like, it's a lot of resource grinding, but it's not so bad because you don't really got to pay attention. You can just keep half an eye on it and then keep going. Yeah, like
the gameplay loop is dangerous because it's like, it's short enough to where you can just do it. And then it's also short enough to where you're like, I'm gonna keep doing yeah. this, and then like 9 hours pass. Like,
yep. I bought it and installed it last night around 11 p.m. my time. And I was like, all right, I'm going to give, like, I'll give it a little chance just so I can maybe talk a little bit about it on the show. And then all of a sudden it was 5 a.m.
Yep.
And I was just like, oh fuck, I have accomplished nothing, but I've played a lot of this game. There's just enough to this game where I play it and I'm just like, I mean, I'm going to keep playing it. Like, it doesn't take anything for me to keep playing it. So I'm just going to keep playing it. And then eventually I'll get somewhere and we'll see what, you know, the mid and end game of this thing look like. But, no, it's cool. Cause it's automatic enough that I don't feel any kind of compulsion to try and min-max. So instead of sitting here and trying to figure out what's going on, like, or like what optimal shit is happening, I'm just playing. So it's like, oh, I'll put these cards down. Like, I'll put these mountain cards down and I'll stick them over here because they have adjacency bonuses. So I'll just put them over in the corner and stop thinking about them. Oh shit, I put 9 together and they turned into a mountain peak and now it's spawning harpies and I gotta fight these fucking things now. It's like, oh shit.
Yeah, it does a really cool job of being a board game. Like, it like feels like it really does feel like you're playing a board game by yourself, which I super like, being able to like you said, like stack resources and spawn a different thing. It just has these like fun little things to like pick at that you just start figuring out. It's like, oh, if I put this, I forgot what they're called, like where you get a chest every time of the day goes by, but it's in
battlefields.
So like, oh, the more monsters I put in here, the better stuff I'll get from there. So I'll start stacking spiders over here and like putting wolves over here so they're close and they start going together. So it's like fun to figure out how to get more resources and like you said, you don't have to do much, but you can't take your eyes away from it and you put it on that 2x speed and you're just like, let's see how long, oh my gosh, because he's going, okay, I got enough timber, I think I'm gonna make it. And you go back to the town and you reset everything. You're like, oh, okay, this time I'm gonna get a bunch of boulders. Let's go get some boulders. Let's not get too crazy and then you start doing something else. Like, it's just, it's a dangerously addictive game. And they've like nailed like a idle game mechanic in there on top of all these other things. It's just like, yeah, it's like crack.
Can you guys hear me now, by the way?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, sweet.
Yeah, it's just really cool because there's cards and the cards that generate are part of a deck that you design outside of the loops. So you get to pick what you're going to run into, but yep. As you play and fight stuff and unlock stuff, you start getting new cards and you can only bring a maximum of like 12 cards with you. So it's like, well, all right, I need this kind of resource and I'm going to get that out of enemies that come out of this kind of card. So these have to be in the deck. I got room for a couple more. What am I going to stick in here? And then you start looking at what the cards do. And it's like, oh, well, this card is called a village and that'll heal me a little bit when I walk into it, but it generates quest mobs. So they might hurt me really bad. Oh, and I just unlocked this card and it's called a wheat field. And if I put this next to a village, it heals me for like 50 extra health. So I can put those right here and then walk through it and then I can get healed. So now I get healed at my campfire on one end of the map. I'll put these on the other side of the loop. So now I can fill up this half with just more monsters and then heal myself twice as much as I would. So there's strategy like that. And it's just all of a sudden it's very cool.
And then the more resources you put, the closer you get to summoning like the lich, summoning the bad guy. So you have to plan like how much do I want to put into this one loop? Do I want to go all out and try and like get to this crazy like thing, or do I want to like just play it play it safe and try it the next time.
Yeah, and, I've seen.
And the loop is so short and so easy. It's like you're constantly making choices, and it feels really good. It feels like you're making a huge choices, but really not.
Yeah, and it's I've seen some people. Some people seem really confused about how the time mechanics work. Assuming you aren't playing any cards that modify any of that stuff, the progress bar that increases to summon the boss, that fills as you play cards. A lot of people seem to think that it fills as you walk around the map, and I don't think it does. It fills as you play cards. So if you throw down like a bunch of resource cards, you know, all of a sudden you're fighting a boss, but you're only getting like, you know, level fucking 3 gear or whatever. And they're like, well, you're not going to beat the boss that way. Like, what do you think? What do you think's happening here? It's like, but,
are you guys both playing on Steam or Epic? What are you guys playing on?
Steam.
I have it on GOG. I try and buy games on GOG when I can.
Cool. Yeah. I am fully playing on Steam.
I'm trying to decide which version to get.
Steam.
Get the Steam version.
Yeah, I mean, there's no difference. I'm just a weirdo to buy stuff on GOG. So,
man, cool. I might be one of those 500,000 people.
I don't know. I like a game that is so good that it can look like nothing and still be fun to play. Like, I think the last game that really did it for me this way was like Hacknet. Hacknet was just like essentially DOS prompts. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it was colorful, but there was no real graphics to it. This game is very much the same way. Like, this game is stylized to look like basically a step up from like those old school DOS games.
Amiga game.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. But then you get these like character portraits that are like gorgeous. Like, the characters look so nice. Like,
are you playing offline right now, Aaron?
My Steam account got compromised a couple months ago.
Uh-huh.
So I've just had myself set to invisible since then.
Okay.
But
you show up as it says you've been offline for 9 hours. That's what I was curious.
Yeah. That would have been the last time I checked Steam on my phone.
Got it.
But no, I'm literally playing it right now.
Nice.
Yeah. But yeah.
Oh man. So that's what I've been playing. My cart.
That's what I've been playing, and it's really good. And I think everybody should play it, and then they should tell me how to do certain things. And it's 15 bucks. It's $15. It's not expensive.
Mm-mm.
Which is
Even on sale like recently too, or something? Or was that Valheim?
It was on sale launch week for $12.
$12. I feel so bad not picking it up then. Oh, so, man. All right. $15 it is. I'm going to pick this guy up this weekend.
Oh.
I'm going to join the party.
Get on it.
Loop Hero.
I think it'd be perfect for the Switch. Like,
I'm sure it'll come out there. Yeah. That.
I always hate when people say that, like, this game will belong on the Switch, but this game actually kind of does. It'd be like perfect to be on there.
It showed up on Game Pass. Nice. What else have you been playing, Aaron?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. A little bit of Valheim, and then this, and I've been playing this much more than Valheim.
Sure.
I think, you know, I was gonna just not talk about Valheim anymore, but I think I'm at the point with that game where I really got to play it on a server to figure out what's going on, because it's like I killed the first boss and it's like, all right, good job, Viking. Now go kill the second one, and I'm like, all right, where is it? Look around. It's like, oh, you got to go to the Black Forest and you got to dig up some ore and make some stuff, kill that second boss, and I'm just like, I don't really see a Black Forest around here. I see a deer over there. Is that what I'm looking for? No, I guess I'll make a boat and sail over here. I got some dwarves over here. Is this what I'm looking at? Hey, what's that? Is that a fucking mosquito? Oh, I'm dead. guess I'll summon that fucking first boss again and kill that so I can make a new pickaxe.
Get the body retriever dudes to come and get you.
Yeah. That whole thing struck me as quite funny because that's been a thing that's like existed sort of in the same idea in Elite Dangerous for a long time with like the fuel rats. It's like, I'm an idiot. Now I'm stuck out here. I don't have any fuel. I'm going to freeze to death. Let me call these guys and they'll come save me.
I've been saved by them multiple times. So
I've been saved by them once when I first started playing. I was like, fuck, I don't want to lose my ship. But so play Loop Hero, and that's everything I've been playing. That's all of it.
Yep. Sorry, my audio here is crazy. Yeah. What have you been playing, Zacharias?
So let's start out with my still favorite game. I'm playing a lot of Cruelty Squad still.
Cruelty Squad.
This game, when I first talked about it, I played it for maybe like an hour, and that's honestly not enough to like wrap your head around this like weird obtuse game. And I've played it for maybe five hours now, and I just find myself coming back to it constantly. It's these levels are like these esoteric puzzles that you have to figure out because everything doesn't look how it's supposed to look. It doesn't control how it's supposed to control, but it's like everything's a puzzle and everything's like a mechanic on top of each other. But at the same time, it's just like a SWAT 4 type of game, a Deus Ex kind of game, like those kind of combined. So I find myself like going back into these levels and finding all the different routes to, because there's so many different routes to like kill. So you have to kill a character on each like stage. And I find myself coming back and just figuring out the weird ways to like get to these places. And it's just so fun. Like that game, I think it looks really cool. A lot of people hate the way it looks because it's just like, it's hard to even explain. It's like ugly, but it has an art style. It has like its own like feeling to it. It's so unique. Like, there's nothing like it. But it feels good to play. It's fun to play. It has this like humor to it that is so like it's
this
so...
does look like something somebody would make in Roblox.
Yeah, no, it's like it's strange. It also has a lot to say about like corporations and corporate America and like working yourself to the bone and like. And being used as a puppet to make money for somebody else, or because you basically kill corporations, like people who are CEOs. You kill them, but you're being controlled by another you're being controlled by another corporation to do these hits. So there's a lot of like back and forth and in betweens of you talking and like just hearing this like it's like dirty nihilistic like dude talking about like how you're nothing and how you're just doing this. So, and I wish I could even remember what the guy says, but it's just so the way it's written is so weird. I mean, if you just look at it, it looks like it's like a piece of shit, but it's not. I promise it's not. It's like it's solid game.
Love these kind of weirdly esoteric style games, don't you?
Yeah, I love games that don't explain themselves and just let you like be free and like have fun.
What was the name of that game that fucking Jim Sterling was in? Jazz Punk. It vaguely reminds me of Jazz Punk.
Yeah, it's kind of like jazz punk. But it's just like I love games that are video games. Like there's not this game. This couldn't be anything else but a game. Like that's what it is. And it you just play it and you and part of what's fun about it is figuring out how to play it and what it is. Like that's what makes it so exciting. Is like you know you turn the corner and there's gonna be something you've never seen in your entire life. Like and that's what I think is cool about video games in general is. They should be giving you experiences of things that you shouldn't be able to get in any other place.
Sure.
Like I I couldn't get this from a book. I couldn't get this from a movie, a TV show. Like, this is a video game that wants you to get dirty and like just get like elbows deep and just play around in its mess. And that's what I really enjoy about it. And then the guy, there's this one dude making it. I think he might be crazy. Like, I follow his personal account on Twitter. I sent him a DM and said, hey, thanks for making this game. It's really cool. And he said, and he sent me a message back. He said, like, sorry, my computer.
Sending me messages, punk?
He said, sorry, my computer is broken, but thanks. Like, that's
nice.
What he said. I was like, okay, cool. Like, that's awesome. But yeah, it's special. It's a really special game, and it'll probably be in my top five of the year. Like, I love it. And I just want to keep playing it. Like, I can't wait for the next levels to come out. Can't wait for it to get finished. He added fishing to it, which is
nice.
Weird. So you fish and then you go to the stock market, which you just pull up at any point and sell your fish and get money to buy organs and stuff for killing people. And it's fun to mess with the different organs and figure out, like, oh, if I use the intestinal organ on this level to rope down from the ceiling, I can kill the guy this much faster. So yeah, it's fun. And it feels like it feels like Doom, like an older shooter like Quake. Like, you can jump, sprint, or like jump, hop to like sprint around. So there's a lot of jumping, a lot of like moving back and forth and moving your camera, so you so you get your momentum and go fast. So it's fun. Speed runs are cool of this game to watch. If you ever get bored, check one of those out.
Sweet.
But besides that, I've been playing. I got the code for the new Story of Seasons. It's not Harvest Moon anymore. Story of Seasons yesterday.
And there is a Harvest Moon. But it's not Harvest Moon. Yeah, it's not legal.
Yeah, because Natsume finally don't have the rights to the IP anymore. So now the original creators have the rights to the IP and are able to do more Harvest Moon ish like things with these new titles. And this new one is really good. If you're a fan of like farming Harvest Moon games, it's gonna be what you like expect. This one is really interesting because they are making a game to compete with Stardew Valley and with Animal Crossing. It's kind of like they're jumping into that zone. Like, so with this Harvest Moon, you don't start out with a cabin. You have to like get resources and build your own cabin, and so that's kind of like a harvest. It's kind of like Animal Crossing, but it's not time gated by real time, so it's kind of a lot faster. So they have that, and it's like Stardew Valley, where you're kind of, I mean, Stardew Valley is just Harvest Moon, but the people in the city are a lot different than what they have been in past Harvest Moon games or Story of Season games. There's a lot of variety in people, a lot of different races, which is new for this series. So you have a bunch of people living on an island that's like a tourist place. They have like a bunch of different things, like there's a tourist attraction that you can build up and get more people to come to your island. There is like a samurai dojo. There's like a fishing place ran by some like Cajun people. So there's like a lot of different like cool things. And I guess the simple idea of it being an island and a tourist attraction kind of helps with that. But the cool thing about it is for Harvest Moon games, I'm gonna keep saying Harvest Moon, but Story of Season games. They're open, but they're not as open as you would think they would be. This one is a lot more open, lets you kind of do your own thing from the get go. So a lot of like resource gathering, a lot of like, you can get your chickens in the first like 2 days, maybe. All you have to do is gather enough resources to build a coop, And that's cool. So you can like immediately start selling stuff and up and like making your farm animals happy. And
what are you playing this on PC or Switch?
It's Switch only, actually.
Oh, okay. Which is interesting.
Just hard for a PC gamer, but I gotta I'll do it for this game because it's I play these games every year. Yeah, so there's crafting and stuff, which is a new thing for this series where you can craft and make your farm look cute, and you have cameras to take pictures that will get uploaded to the internet that when there's a loading screen, other people can see the pictures. So that's fun. You take pictures and you put it in the museum because you want to like track that's different cool. flora and fauna and animals. So then you collect things.
Mini games on here too.
Museum, you got mini games. There's like 200 scripted events. There's a bunch of cool sprites and stuff, and like the sprites that you get to help on your farm to do things are a lot different than they have been. They can do things like that, make like beanstalks come out and like amplify your farm instead of being like, oh, they're gonna water and harvest my plants. Now they're kind of these like super magical things that have RNG involved. That's pretty fun. Yeah, it's different. It's a very different type of Harvest Moon game, but it's a good step in a fresh direction and kind of how the market's gone for these types of games. They're actually chasing it, which is cool to see because they haven't been for the past 20 years.
Let me ask you the most important question. How am I a person whose favorite Harvest Moon game specifically was Harvest Moon 64 going mm-hmm. to like this game?
I mean, that's my favorite one too. So, I mean,
good to know.
It's like I Stardew Valley, I think, is good. These other farming type of games, I think, are fine. But there's something about Harvest Moon that these other games don't do right. I think it has a lot to do with like the aesthetics and the characters. I think the Stardew Valley characters are kind of like downers and they're not really fun to talk to. But the ones in Harvest Moon, they're fun and they're cute. They're like you want to talk to them every day and kind of figure out who these people are. Yeah, I think the biggest flaw of this game is when you talk to a character, character art doesn't pop up. So it's like you're just talking. It's just like the models facing each other. Which I think is a pretty big like flaw, because it's like, who do I want to marry? Like, I can't figure out who's cute. I have to go in my diary and look at their picture, which is
fine. Creepy.
Yeah, but it's like there's a bunch of sitting
on your farm in your cabin, just you got your little book with pictures of everybody in the town. Like, oh, who am I gonna marry?
Yeah, no, like, exactly. You press like press Y, you pull up your diary, you see all the hearts and stuff. Like, oh, this is. What's her face? She works at the museum. I'm gonna go talk to her. But yeah, it's Harvest Moon, but they just added all these cool systems to it. There's a skill system now that you can see. So you like, so instead of it being like, break 50 rocks and you can level up to the iron hammer. It's like you get skills and level up in these with these tools and stuff, and you get skills like, oh, you can do an AOE hit, or you can just not get tired as easy. So you have like choices to make that you can use on your tools, which is fun. Yeah, and then there's the crafting. You have to like, you can chop down trees and make wood to get logs to refine the wood to use the wood as planks to make this and that. So it's kind of it has the Minecraft Stardew Valley type of thing going for it. And then you can make clothes. You can make food. There's a lot of food stuff in this game, which is cool. There's a really rich guy that lives on a hill that he has challenges every day, like make me the best pancake dish. And you make him that dish, and he'll give you money or give you whatever. So there's a lot of stuff to like unlock and find, which is good for these games because these games you can end up playing for hundreds of hours. So. But yeah, that's my. I probably play Paper like 10 hours, which is a lot, but yeah, it's definitely hooked me deep. And I'll be playing it for forever.
Story of Seasons is the Harvest Moon series, but the problem I think was Natsume had the license to the name because they were the original distributor at the time, and then Marvelous, who was actually the creator of the series, had their American division, Exceed Games, take over to publish it, but they couldn't use the name. So Harvest Moon, the name stayed with Natsume, who published Harvest Moon games, which are like nothing like this. They're not great. And then Story of Seasons is the actual Harvest Moon series in the U.S. Now, back in Japan, they're still titled correctly, which it's a little ranch story or a little farm story or something.
Something
like that. And so only in America is that name change. But yeah, I checked the Wikipedia for this game out, and it was on that video, it said 25 years. I'm like, 25 years? I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's still the original Harvest Moon game, which is fantastic. So yeah, cool. I'm interested in the series, man. I'd never picked one up. I've always kind of circled around it. But I think I may do it, but who knows?
I think right now, also, they have a mechanic where you can visit people's places and people's islands too. So you can go.
Oh, that's
visit
cool.
People. So, so that's fun, and you'll show up in theirs. I don't think there's any direct connection. I haven't been able to test it out, but like you'll show up in their island, and you'll get like their postcard and stuff. But yeah, I think if you wanted to try Story of Seasons, this is the best game to do it because it has a lot of familiar mechanics from other popular games.
Got it.
I mean, or you can always just play the remake of Friends of Mineral Town, last year, which like is also good. It's just basic, which is not bad, but yeah, still these Story of Season games just have some type of charm to them that these other games don't bring to the table. And I think a lot of it has to do with the graphics. I think it's cute. Like it looks good. Especially this new one. I like the painterly kind of look.
It's kind
of
neat. Yeah.
They did on it. So, and not as good like chibi. So, yeah. I can't wait to see what happens after year one and get a life and stuff and see how that all comes out. Because I think it was Back to Nature, the one on the GameCube, your kid would grow up. So I'm kind of curious to see what they do with the children in this game. So
awesome. 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 Your progeny. Anything else you've been playing? Pouring your hours into those few games?
Just that and my normal phone games I'm playing.
Nice. Awesome. Well, that's it, I think. We don't have JJ. We don't have Sam. They're all off doing their own stuff. That's it. We're going to call it a night. Topping out right here at the 1 hour mark. I like it. Like it after some technical difficulties early on. Want to thank you guys for co-hosting as usual. Zach, thank you very much. Where can we find you?
Find me at OKQuest on Twitter. You should follow me because I lost 2 followers for whatever reason.
Uh-oh. That's sad. That's heartbreaking. Aaron, thank you as usual. And where can they find you?
Find me on Twitch and Twitter at Scrotty Bones. More recently, you can find me hiding from the internet because I'm busy playing Loop Hero.
Nice. Nice. You can find me at Dali Domofsky. I was streaming games. I streamed Castle Kong the other night because I forgot to record some video for that. It's funny when you talk about a game on a podcast like we've been doing, and then after getting a review code, you think that'll be enough to get the word out for a game, Castle Kong. And then you're like, I'm going to record some actual video to go along with that audio clip. And I'd forgotten to do that. So earlier this week, I'm like, I'm going to stream. I haven't streamed in a while. I'm going to stream some on Twitch. So I streamed Castle Kong and Cathedral and all the other stuff. So you might see me streaming more often. I'm going to give it a shot. You're going to see us everywhere. Sidequesting.com. We are not bought by Microsoft, unfortunately. Maybe not a lot.
Yeah.
Until then, You can find us online, sidequesting.com. Rate, review, blah, 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 all that fun stuff. We'll see you next time on the Side Quest. Adios, everybody.
Bye. Choices in my head. Turn a day now. These are the